Welcome, everyone, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And I say we, but it's just me today. And no, that's not throwing shade at anyone, but it's just the fact that I'm doing this one. So yeah, let's talk about some Tales of the Jedi. Before we get into that, I'm going to make the intro short and sweet. You guys already know what I'm going to ask. So if you like the content, like, subscribe. Make sure you put a review on the podcast channels, just so it does help with the visibility. I was going to say invincibility, but it does help with all of that stuff and the algorithms and things like that. And of course, there are going to be spoilers ahead. This is 6 episodes. They were pretty short, and that's why I didn't do it individually like I normally do, because, I mean, in total, the whole thing was about an hour. So, I mean, I'm just going to jump around and talk about the things that I liked about these episodes and why Dave Filoni should be lit. I mean, I hope, and it seems like this is what he is, but Dave Filoni needs to be in charge of anything Star Wars related, him and Jon Favreau. I mean, again, they give Dave Filoni just proves again why he's probably the most knowledgeable person in Star Wars and how he makes stories work. No matter what order they're in, if they're prequels or if they're a sequel, it doesn't matter. Dave Filoni is the person we want writing Star Wars or overseeing Star Wars. I don't care what anyone says, you know, oh, he only does it in the animated. No, that's not true, because he made a fantastic episodes that he got to do in The Mandalorian. Even the episodes of Book of Boba that he did, which was Mandalorian centric, but still, it everything he touches as far as Star Wars goes is fantastic. Now, you know, some might argue and say, you know, the first 2 seasons of Clone Wars were terrible. And I won't disagree with that. But at the end of the day, what Clone Wars became was probably legit the best thing we've ever seen Star Wars related. Just story wise, I will say Clone Wars, those last 3, like, I mean, from season 3 on, is the best ever Star Wars story told. And I know a lot of people, you know, might not agree, but, or some people will, but at the end of the day, that's how I feel. I just feel like with the pacing of everything, especially after season 3 of Clone Wars, it's fantastic. But we're not here to talk about Clone Wars. That'd be a separate episode, which I could talk about Clone Wars all day if you guys gave me the chance, but maybe you want that. If you do, let me know. But we're here to talk about some Tales of the Jedi. And basically, this was going to be like a compilation of stories that focused around Ahsoka and Count Dooku, which is a great story. And this is a great way to set up the show, the Ahsoka show that should be coming out sometime soon. And this is going to just give us a little bit more of the characters to dive into, which I could always use more Ahsoka, which is not a problem. Ashley Erskine actually got to voice the character again, which makes me really happy. There's some big voice actors in here. I mean, Liam Neeson even came back as Qui-Gon, and Phil LaMarr was Bail Organa. Like, you know, Matt Lattner came back. Like, everyone was back for this, and obviously that's coming with Dave probably saying, hey, look, I want you guys back to do some of these things. And of course, a lot of these stories are told in different sections, and obviously dealing with Ahsoka and Count Dooku, you're going to know that it's deal obviously pretty much post Rebels. I mean, before Rebels. So before Rebels and around the time Clone Wars and things like that happened. So let's just get right into it. Of course, I've already started talking about it, but the first episode of this was called Life and Death. This was written by Dave Filoni. This basically shows Ahsoka's birth, right? Like a story we haven't gotten before. I also like that we showed it in this, meaning when we get to the actual show, it can just be a quick flashback. And I don't mean actual show like discounting this. I mean actual show as in the live action. So I do forgive me for that, but yes. So, you know, we get into it. We basically are talking. Ahsoka is, you know, born. You know, we meet Ahsoka's mother. We see what kind of relationship they have with everyone. And we see her first hunt, essentially. And man, it was so cool just seeing her family, seeing how excited the tribe got when Ahsoka was born, and just basically saying like how much they cared for a child to be born, like let alone they at this point, they don't even know that she's force sensitive or anything like that. They're just happy to have another member of the tribe. And it goes to show you kind of what Ahsoka's character is, right? Ahsoka's always very family oriented, very much caring, and it's kind of in her DNA, right? And that's just the character that she is. And it was a great way to see this episode of going back there and seeing her when she became born and seeing the first hunt that she had to do, which was awesome. Her mother basically goes out, says it's time. It's Ahsoka's about a year old around this time. And they, you know, go ahead and she's just basically teaching her about the land and like in a very subtle way, right? She's not even out like speaking. She's just doing actions that kind of make you go like, you know, these are the things you should be accustomed to, or this is how you should start like, you know, hunting and stuff like that. They end up killing an animal, and she, a really cool moment in this episode is when Ahsoka's mom, whose name is Pavti, I believe. I know I'm going to butcher that until I watch it again. But yeah, she basically is like, you know, don't be afraid of death, because you could see Ahsoka kind of like lean her head away, and she wants her to see what can happen just to get, because it's a part of life. And she wants her to understand that there is reasons for the actions that are being done. And we know that this reason here is because they want to feed the village, and it's something that needs to be done so that they can feed the village. And because, you know, for whatever reason, they don't really need to explain that, but basically just make sure and they know exactly, she knows what everything entails and stuff like that. So it was really cool. They get attacked by, so I forgot the name of, I don't even know the name of this, the beast that attacked them, but it's basically it's like a tiger pretty much, right? And it basically comes through, it attacks them. Her mother holds it off. The tribe realizes that Ahsoka is in danger and her mother's in danger, because that's exactly what's about to happen. It's a really cool thing. They end up fighting. She's doing this great job at fighting. Creature ends up taking Ahsoka, and then, you know, they have a moment. And this was a moment here where it was showing that even at a young age, Ahsoka was very force sensitive, because she was able to calm the beast down and actually get the beast to take her back to her parents. And that was just showing you what kind of person and what kind of force power that Ahsoka was having even at the age of 1 year old. So I thought, you know, again, this was a great episode just to pretty much get out of the way who this character is. It's kind of a reintroduction of the character too, right? If you didn't watch Clone Wars, and I think this is the only episode though that you can watch if you haven't seen Clone Wars, because everything after this goes more into detail about like periodic time frames of when these characters were in Clone Wars or around Clone Wars or even around the movies and things like that. So you kind of have to, I think you would fully enjoy it if you watched Clone Wars and knew what gaps were being filled, opposed to just watching this and then expecting to know, again, what happened. I still think they do a good job if you've at least seen the prequels, but if you don't know the Ahsoka character, as far as Ahsoka goes, I mean, with Dooku, I think it works a lot better, because if you've just seen the prequels, because the Dooku story kind of revolves around the prequels and stuff like that. So I don't think that's a big deal. But for Ahsoka's characters, I definitely recommend watching Clone Wars. And you should just watch Clone Wars anyway if you like Star Wars. If you haven't watched Clone Wars, I don't really understand what you're doing as a Star Wars fan. And I'm throwing shade at my brother Kyle, because he hasn't watched it yet. So if he, you know, he needs to get in there, start watching this, and then understand why this is the best Star Wars story ever told. But anyway, going into episode 2, we see a young Jedi Master Dooku, and we see a character we don't know who it is yet. But if you guys know about some of the books, Clone Wars, things like that, you would know that his apprentice was Qui-Gon Jinn. So they actually go into a planet where they are going into a hostile situation. A hostage situation going on where one of the senator's sons ends up getting kidnapped at this ghost planet. I forget the name of the planet, but he ends up getting kidnapped. And what happens is, you know, they're trying to investigate to see what happened. And then they realize that they're on this planet that the Empire is essentially, and the Republic, not even the Empire, I'm sorry, because the Empire is not even a thing, but the Republic is kind of, has neglected this planet, right? And it was one of those things when you see as a Jedi and being on the ground level that you see that, oh man, like there's some things that are not being taken care of. Like it's a huge galaxy. And I think, again, I will always compliment when these shows show you how big these galaxies are, because how big the galaxy is, because I feel like you get such a restriction level when with the movies, because it is a centered story, right? So it centered around the Skywalkers and everyone, you know, so you kind of feel like you're only on a couple of planets, whereas the shows, they do a really good job at going to multiple places, showing you the different effects of different areas in the galaxy. And that's why I prefer Star Wars in a TV setting, is because you have time to tell these stories. And this story was one of those times where you could see how the Republic and the Senate's basically failed this planet. And the people of the planet, who this is the senator's people, you know, are just like, you know, they kidnapped their son, and the son of the senator actually understands what's going on. He's like, yo, like, I didn't expect to see what I'm seeing now. Like, I didn't expect, you know, them to be hungry and people haven't eaten here. And, you know, and it's my father just hasn't like done what he was supposed to do here. And he's failed his people. And he understands why they had to kidnap him, because the son felt like they had no choice, like, because what else were they going to do except just die here? So it's a really interesting, complex situation that's going on. And that's the kind of things that you like, because there is that Jedi code, right? And then there's that, you know, what is right and what is wrong and what do you feel is right? And you could see Dooku and Qui-Gon thinking about this situation very, you know, direly. And basically, when the senator shows up, the village people feel like they are getting betrayed. And Dooku's like, no, I didn't even call them over here. So you could see the Senate basically is saying like, look, this is what happened. You know, this is what happened. And basically Dooku gets really upset because he realizes what the senator was doing and how he's failed. But he also uses a force choke, which in this scenario, when he does that, you kind of know, again, if you've watched the prequels, you kind of know what the destiny is and stuff like that. But seeing the change starting to happen was a really cool thing, even in these short little episodes that they were shown, because I don't think any episode eclipsed 17 minutes, but they got the point across. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can write, and this is what makes Dave Filoni so great, is that he can be so meaningful in 13, 15 minute, 30 minute episodes. And like, you don't even realize, like, you got a full story in a matter of minutes with Dave Filoni. And basically, you know, Dooku's upset. And then Qui-Gon realizes that Dooku is making this choice, and that he needs him to relax. So he gets the son. The son then, you know, saves his father. And, you know, Qui-Gon basically tells Dooku, like, you know, this was a situation. And Dooku thanks Qui-Gon, just basically saying, like, you know, thank you for doing what you did there. And yeah, and it's one of those episodes where, again, it's that Jedi code versus what the people are seeing, right? Like, the Jedi are supposed to help the Republic, you know, kind of keep this not even, or like, I don't want to say order, but it kind of is, right? And it's really cool to see when you have a dilemma of where the Republic has failed its people, and there's no denying that. And it's not like the people of the planet were these, you know, angry people who were trying to you know, overthrow the Republic or anything like that. What they were trying to do is they were just trying to survive. And for the Senate to see that and then portray what's going on, I think this episode did a really good job at making sure we understood that you can't have your hands everywhere. And I think that's what this episode did a really good job at. And yeah, that was episode 2. Like I said, that was a really strong episode. I don't know if it was my favorite, but then episode 3, we get to see a, you know, a well-known character who a lot of people want to see again. And that is Mace Windu. So Dooku and Windu are going, and Mace Windu are going on this mission, basically to see this, to investigate a death of one of their own. Forgive me again, I forgot the name of the master that they're looking for. But basically they're looking for one of the Jedi masters there. And, basically they're looking for to do an investigation again, basically seeing what happened, why is this person, you know, gone, what happened to the whole situation. So it was a really good, it was a really good episode too, because again, now you see someone like Mace Windu, right? Who is very much part of what the council says. It's what we need to do, like period, point blank. Don't want to hear anything else. And because of that, you see Dooku, who is not the same as Mace Windu, right? We know that Mace Windu is very much Dooku is very much of, I need to see what's going on and kind of dissect it before I just decide to follow this blindly, right? And this is around the time where we're getting closer to the prequels and getting closer to the change also, right? So with that being said, we see that they go to this place. The senator there seems to be very much saying, oh no, I can't believe like she died. This was, you know, not supposed to happen, things like that. And then of course, Windu and Mace says, that's enough. Like, I have enough information. We need to take this back to the council. Dooku wants to investigate because he feels like there's more and he can tell that this guy's lying. So they go to the scene where she did die. And basically what happens there is they put two and two together and they realize, you know, that this was a attack on this person. And there's no way that a Jedi would have gotten caught slipping if it, you know, if they didn't trust the person that there was about to shoot them. So the senator, in fear, screams and runs, of course, in a straight line, saying, you know, it was the guard, like it was the guards. They're the ones who attacked her because, you know, and then he ends up getting shot. We see a really cool scene here of the fighting going on between Mace, the fighting between Dooku and Mace Windu fighting these guards. And it is awesome just seeing them do their moves, their whole persona, the way that they're fighting. Everything is cool. Just it looks so good, so good, so good, so good. And I can't compliment it enough. But basically, you know, everyone starts getting taken out. And then there's two left. He basically hits one of them. Mace Windu reflects one of their beams. It ends up killing them. They keep one alive. They imprison them. And then we have that moment where Dooku is talking to the prisoner. And he's basically saying, I can understand what you guys are going through, right? Because one, the explanation comes out and he says, what else were we supposed to do? And knowing that what we saw in the last episode, episode two called Justice, we realize that there is certain situations when these things are happening that it may not be what, like there's what's being said and what's being done. And in this situation, what's being said and what's being done is completely different. And then Dooku understands that. Dooku's like, that, yeah, well, I can understand what you're saying there. And they get called back. And then we see, because of the death of the council Jedi, that Mace Windu ends up taking up that spot for him. And of course, he didn't know about that, but it does seem sus, right? Like, did you know about this going into that? Mace assures Dooku, no, I didn't. I had no idea about this. It just kind of happened. But Dooku wanted that position. So it kind of starts that rift. And obviously, again, if you've watched the prequels, you know what kind of path we're going through. And this is the thing that, like I said, because as a person who doesn't like the prequels and what Filoni does with these characters in such a short amount of time, it's just better than anything on the prequels. Like, even I'm telling you, in total, I think we did Dooku maybe what, 15 in total, had maybe 30 minutes, like at like tops. And Dooku's whole, like his whole existence just becomes way better inside of those 30 minutes that, you know what I mean? that you could, it was just better than anything that we got on the prequels. And again, it is easier to do that now, which is something that I will admit to, right? Especially after you've seen what happened and what failed, to then write it. But again, this just goes to how great of an understanding that Dave Filoni has of the Star Wars universe. And again, I want this man to make sure he does everything that Star Wars related. That's what I want. That's my dream. And maybe one day it will happen. But we go on to the next episode where we are now, we realize this is sometime after The Phantom Menace now, because Qui-Gon has died, right? And even in the last episode where we see Qui-Gon one more time, and he actually mentions Obi-Wan, like his apprentice and stuff like that. So in episode 3, which is Choices, he does mention Obi-Wan and we see Qui-Gon for the last time. Or it could have been episode 4. I don't remember. It could have been the beginning, but you know, I binged it. So the episodes might be a little bit off, but we're on the same story. But this happens. We see the death. We don't see the death of Qui-Gon, but we know how he died. We know all that information that happens. And we can see Dooku really hurt by it. Like, it really did affect him in a way that, you know, you don't expect, especially after knowing the character. You kind of go, oh, okay, he like really cared for Qui-Gon, and this actually is going to cause him to probably, you know, start looking down that other path. And I thought this episode did such a good job at that, right? Like, because this happens, it makes sense, everything kind of works itself out, and then he's just like, yo, like, I don't agree with what the Jedi's are doing. Then we have Yaddle, who we didn't get much information on, and we know what she cares about Dooku, which is Yaddle was played by Bryce Dallas Howard, by the way, if you guys didn't know. But we see this, their conversations and how they're talking to each other, and she can start to see the turn. And when that happens, obviously she, you know, tries to do her sneakiness. We then see Darth Sidious and Dooku having a conversation. Then we see an awesome fight between Yaddle and Dooku, where Sidious is like, if you're really truly done with the council, if you haven't betrayed me, you need to kill this person. You need to kill Yaddle. So that whole fight happens. It's so good, guys. Like, the fight, if you like, well, you guys have watched it. If you haven't, that fight is fantastic. It's really well done. The fighting style doesn't look clunky or weird like it does in episode 3. Of Yoda just going crazy in episode 2. Like, it has some of those moments, but it's a lot cleaner. And again, animation helps a lot with that, but it was fantastic to see that fight scene go happen. We see that, you know, he has to end up killing Yaddle. We initially think she dies by getting crushed. She doesn't. She actually lifts up the thing, and then he does like say, you know, if and you could see his eyes starting to turn, which I thought was really cool. Like, it starts to show the turn. Like, even if you looked at before the episode and then during that episode, it's just starting to like do a shimmer and like starting to change or starting to show the hue of it. And I thought that was really cool. And then he ends up actually killing Yaddle, like, by, like, you know, lightsaber. Darth Sidious obviously isn't, loves that situation. He loves what's happening there. And yeah, that was pretty much what we got as far as Dooku goes. So the thing that I found was pretty cool is that, you know, obviously now it's, if you want to see what happens to Dooku, go watch the rest. Like, you know what I mean? I thought that was really cool. And then we go to, after watching 3 episodes of Dooku, we now go back to Ahsoka, who is now about 14. And she's, you know, impressing everyone. We get to see Obi-Wan in this too. She's impressing everyone with the way that she's training and everything like that. We notice she is fighting with only one saber at this moment. She doesn't have her other saber yet, but clearly we know at some point she will get another saber. So we see her then tell Anakin and have this conversation with Anakin. We even see Yoda in this episode. We see Anakin kind of walk up and, you know, he's not impressed. He wants her to train as if, you know, real situations and people who are not just robots, because you can remember those movements and things like that. And they end up doing it. We end up seeing Rex and Rex's boys, And basically, they're the ones who start to train Ahsoka, which, again, at 14, this just makes you see, again, the bond between, it just enhances the bond between Ahsoka and Rex, right? Because we know what they've been through. We know how much they care for each other. And this, the fact that he helped her train, and he actually gives her another lightsaber. There's more to that story, but like you see him give her the other lightsaber later on after she's been stunned like plenty of times, and then she's kind of getting it. But then, you know, she gets her other saber and really starts to hone in. And it's just really cool to see her going through that training montage and just doing all those things. And then for it to lead up to when, if you guys did watch Clone Wars, if you guys, especially the most recent one, when she goes into that room where Rex is acting like he's taking her into that room. And then he tells her, I hope all that training paid off. And it's just cool because we've seen all the training and then leading up to that moment where she was going to have to fight multiple people. And again, something that she trained was actually training against Rex's boys. So it's a really cool full circle moment that she trained with them. They turned during Order 66. And then now, because of that, she has now to have to fight them in a situation that she was in, but it's going to be a lot more. And I just thought, just to go full circle like that with that was absolutely fantastic. And again, the dude is a genius. He knows how to write these characters, especially Ahsoka. Like, Ahsoka is his baby. So he writes these characters so good. It's just such a good, fantastic writing. Just fantastic. And then, we go on to the last episode of this, which is Resolve, where Ahsoka is now, this is after episode three, Revenge of the Sith. Padme has passed. And then we see Ahsoka is hiding and is a farmer now. She sees someone who is about to get crushed. She obviously saves them. And then they basically are like, hey, like, you know, we need, like, you know, they're thankful for her. But there's one person who is not one of the siblings, basically turns and tells, you know, the Empire that, you know, there's a Jedi here. And then they send an Inquisitor. The Inquisitor tries to obviously kill Ahsoka. Fails terribly. Even without her lightsabers, Ahsoka's still a badass. And, you know, we see this moment where she's, you know, she's trying to go into hiding. And this is around the time where obviously Vader is now Vader. I mean, Anakin is now Vader. And around this time, we're seeing these characters. Ahsoka's going through some stuff, right? It's a dark moment for her. And this is around the time where she was really contemplating on what she wanted to do next with herself. And we see just, again, awesome writing. Just, we don't need much here. We know the story. We see what kind of got her back into the swing of wanting to be a Jedi, and people telling her, you know, this is the kind of your way. Like, you're, even though you don't want to admit to it, this is who you are. And I think them showing that and them doing things like that for her just really boosts the character, especially when you're going to do the TV show. And again, Ahsoka is now a well-loved character. I remember when the character was first announced, even when, like, back in the day, and how many people were so upset saying, you know, Anakin wouldn't have had a Padawan, or, and why is she a girl, things like that. But now you see Ahsoka, everyone loves her. So Ashley Erskine does fantastic as always. She's amazing. I met her once. She's absolutely everything you think she is. And overall, this series to me was, you know, it's something that I didn't know I wanted. I didn't know I wanted more of Dooku's story until I saw it. Like, and I thought I knew enough about Ahsoka, and I still know. It's still something I want to dive into. I can't wait for the show. I've read pretty much every book that Ahsoka is in. Also, if you read the Ahsoka book, I do recommend the audiobook, just because the book is written in first person, and Ashley Erskine actually does the voice for the book. So she actually is the reader. You should definitely check that out if you have the time. But yeah, overall, I give this an A. It's an A+ for me. Again, you got 6 episodes here. It's like under an hour or around an hour, and it's worth your time. I definitely think if you have watched, you know, the prequels and Have watched the Clone Wars series. Definitely take a chance with just watch this. It's not too long. You won't, feel like you're rushed. You'll get a good story and it's totally worth it. And Dave Filoni is the best. I mean, that's my takeaway from this. And I can't wait for the Ahsoka show just knowing that we're going to have more of these kind of things. So, yeah, that is going to wrap it up for me though. Again, guys, if you can like, subscribe, let me know what you guys thought of the stuff. I want to hear what you guys had to say about it. If you guys enjoyed it, if it was something that you were digging or not. If you know, I would love to hear about it. So let's talk about it. You guys know where to reach me. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for me. I'm actually going to do the Andor episode after this. So if you did listen to all the way to the end, you'll know I did both of them in the same day. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I am going to be out of here. Until next time, Fire Team out.